lots of laughs. It's genius, I'm telling you. Someday when the listener party's done, because that's just consuming all of our time right now. Listener party's done, we're going to set aside a whole week. Whole week, and every day we're going to start creating a bad, terrible, bottom of the barrel, lowest common denominator comedy material. And we're going to start sending it off to other radio stations, see if they use it.
That shouldn't be too hard.
I got a gift for it, I really do. Here, okay, here's, you know that guy, what's his name, Steve in Vancouver?
Yeah.
He was all annoyed that we weren't doing enough stand-up, and I did that whole stand-up bit for him. Sarah asked me how long it took me to write that stand-up comedy bit, like 5 minutes. It writes itself. I do have a gift for the stupid and for the hack-like. Like this. Ah, never mind. Don't worry about it. No, I've been writing down. I was going to make it a recurring bit, the stand-up comedy for Stephen Vancouver, and I never did. But I had this whole idea, and then I realized I didn't care. But I had this whole idea where I was going to do it every Friday as a different comedian, like in the style of. Like 1 week I would do it as Stephen Wright. You know, and my Stephen Wright jokes were all like, I think there ought to be a geeky rapper named LOL.
Oh, should there be a response here?
Come on, it's gold.
I guess
geeky rapper named LOL.
You know what? I think it's just too late for morning show humor.
Fine, you sons of bitches. That's funny.
You're really trying hard today, though. Gotta commend you.
Do you want to hear my Seinfeld?
Sure.
Okay, here's my. Do we have the? Wait, do we have the sound effects for this? Okay, I wasn't gonna get sidetracked, but this is. I'll do my little Seinfeld here. This is my. This is my Rick Emerson to stand-up comedy in the style of Jerry Seinfeld. This is whimsical, observational humor.
Best kind.
Yeah, so yeah, just go ahead and get the appropriate, yeah, all right. And then sometimes, you know, when you're out with your dog and you throw in the stick and they look confused, you know, they got that look on their face like, well, you just got it. Why are you throwing it away? You know? Hello. You know, and you ever wonder if maybe they're losing patience with you? You know, it's like they bring you the stick and you throw it away and the dog's going, God damn, this guy's stupid. I just brought him the stick. All right, I'll get it for you one more time, but that's it. You throw the stick again, you're on your own. I don't know, boy. And they can... You having to fetch sticks for your owners? Yeah, goddamn, that guy's dumb. Thank you. See? That's funny.
Uh-huh.
Well, the response with the applause of last sounded like the old Ozzy and Harriet show.
The audience really liked it.
Most people are all dead, probably, at that taped applause. Mm-hmm. They're all dead. Rick, by the way, about baby heads... Their heads gradually harden over the first year. They're pretty soft until after that. Or until that. I have had three, so I'm pretty used to this. By the way, Wino posted hot chick shots of Sarah O-O-O Dillon. Sarah O. Dillon on MySpace. There are. There's not hot chick photos, but you've got some fantastic photos up there. You've got that photo of you taken, can I say it was taken at Fifth Avenue? Yeah, that picture of you where you're on the couch, and is that like a blue dress?
Yeah, it's like it has like the pattern on it.
Okay, that is the best picture of you ever taken. Not that the other pictures are bad.
It's out of focus.
Because it's blurry. No, it really is a fantastic photo. And I'm not trying to crash it by sending everybody there. It really is a brilliant photo. All right, so let's talk about the American Idol for a second. So you guys didn't watch it at all.
Why should we watch it?
Because it's Queen Week. I know we have to reset things, but no, it's Queen Week, and I don't ever watch American Idol. I mean, the only time, as I've said to you, that I watch it or view it is I walk through the room and my wife happens to be seeing it, it's on in the background or something. But as soon as they said that they were going to be, and there's got to be money that changes hands for this, don't you think? For why would they pick Queen Week? Because it seems like too much of a coincidence that Queen is on tour. In fact, they were here last night.
Uh-huh. They were?
I was talking to Alicia, who works over in the sales area. She went to see them last night at the Rose Garden. Queen, so-called Queen with Paul Rogers from Bad Company. So it's too much of a coincidence that they're on tour and, you know, there's going to be the inevitable live album and that it's Queen Week on American Idol. Just like it was Manilow Week on American Idol and it was just like a month or two after that his album came out. So there's got to be some... I'm not going to call it payola because I'm assuming it's
maybe
legal.
Maybe this is within their catalog of hits.
Maybe. Well, who? Okay, so it's Fox. Well, I guess it's too much work to try to figure out who owns what anymore. But maybe there's the parent group is the same, or the people who own. Because I think Queen is on Polydor, or they were. Well, those are my Don Geronimo skills.
So isn't that like a British label?
I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, so I don't know why they're doing Queen, except I'm assuming that somebody from the record company is paying them off to do it. So they were all night last night. It was these American Idol contestants singing Queen songs, and I guess it happens tonight. I guess they do it back to back. They do a Tuesday thing and then a Wednesday thing. And I know I'm like the last guy in America to be able to you know, to realize all of this. But they will eliminate somebody tonight in the result program. So I'm just going to read you from USA Today. I'll read you a little recap. And if you saw American Idol last night, you can weigh in. You can weigh in with your thoughts on this relatable topic. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. This is a consultant approved topic, by the way, because it does appeal and resonate with you, the audience. It was a black leather day for Kelly Pickler. I could never... That's another person who could never be president or elected to some sort of high office. Your last name is Pickler. On American Idol Tuesday, the rustic country. I don't know if you've seen Kelly Pickler. There's nothing rustic about her. There's nothing. I've seen Abercrombie models that are more rustic. The rustic country singer donned spike-heeled boots to play dominatrix on a fierce version of Bohemian Rhapsody, which was terrible. I should say right now, to no one's surprise, that hearing this was like jamming an awl directly into my ear canal. Pulling off a radical image change, she was not the only idol to meet the challenge of singing a Queen song on a night that largely avoided the anticipated train wrecks that can occur when unpolished singers meet overly complex material. There was almost nothing good last night. Watching all of it was an exercise in sheer endurance and willpower.
Maybe she should have sang Fat Bottom Girls.
There was a guy, no, the guy who, the first guy up sang Fat Bottom Girls. What was his name? Is it possible that his name is Bucky?
I'm not sure the contestants' names.
I swear to God there was a guy named Bucky or Beaky or Becky. Doesn't seem possible that you could actually be an American named Bucky. But, I mean, you know, whatever.
If you're a country singer, perhaps.
I suppose. I don't think he was, though. He was sort of... He had that kind of long-haired Jesus sort of look going on. Kind of a Nickelback sort of a thing. Paris Bennett also wore black rocker garb for an intense The Show Must Go On. And rock singer Chris Daughtry... agonized appropriately on innuendo. Innuendo, which I gotta give the guy props for that. It takes stones to get out there and sing a song that no one likes or knows. Innuendo is, it's not a very good song. It's this long, sort of plodding, dirge-like, progressive rock thing. But I mean, I gotta give the guy credit for picking a song that is unheard by almost everybody. Taylor Hicks, as expected. This was good. Taylor Hicks, he's this guy, he kind of looks, I don't know, he's got this strange kind of Middle Eastern look to him, and he's got gray hair, and he's all short, and he looks like a guy that would sort of do your taxes, and he sang Crazy Little Thing Called Love, which was really good. Catherine McPhee offered a strong version, says USA Today, this is their opinion, not mine, offered a strong version of a lackluster ballad, Who Wants to Live Forever? Only one of the most revered songs in the Queen catalog. On the weaker side, Elliot Yameen wobbled his way through Somebody to Love. You gotta feel sympathy for anybody who has to get up there and sing that song, though, or any of these Queen songs, because the only person on earth who could sing them is dead. Ace Young, failed to live up to the title of his song, We Will Rock You. And here we go. And Bucky Covington, delivered a dismally countrified version of the absurd Fat Bottomed Girls. And then somebody's going to be eliminated tonight, and then we'll go home to begin a life of substance abuse.
Oh, so it's on tonight.
Yes. 503-733-2970. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, Rick. It's Chris.
Chris, so you watched American Idol last night?
No, I was at the Queen concert last
night. I'm looking here. It says saw Queen. So you were actually at the Queen Paul Rogers show at the Rose Garden. How was it?
You know, the show was good. Paul, I think they need to get rid of Paul, though. The guy, he's ancient. He can't sing the Freddie Mercury stuff, so they didn't even do any songs that Freddie was really good at.
What did they, like, what
Bohemian
were...
Bohemian Rhapsody, and they had big screens up right behind the stage and off to either side,
right.
And they showed tape of Freddie singing and the band covered in front.
Oh, well, that's gotta be. I mean, so you're paying to watch them playing a DVD of when they used to be good.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Good times.
The drummer came out and sang that song. The Wish You Were Here or When We Were. You just mentioned it. Somebody sang it last night on Idol. But oh my God, those guys are getting old. Brian May still rocks, but
well, I mean, it's. I mean, I know everybody's got to pay the rent and whatnot, but it does. I was telling this girl Alicia this morning that we did this top five back when they announced this hideous idea of having Paul Rogers, of the top five people who really should have gotten the job. And if they got to go out with a new lead singer, First of all, they should have picked George Michael because he's the guy.
He was awesome.
George Michael's the one guy who could do it, and he's already proven because at that Wembley concert years ago, he did Somebody to Love, and he nailed it.
That smoke, yeah.
I do believe they could have gone out also with Tim Curry or Ronnie James Dio. I think either of those guys would have worked. But Paul Rogers, you know
not
what it is?
Paul Rogers. Not Paul.
It's two great tastes that do not taste great together.
Yeah, and I think they mixed the bands now, too, because there was a couple guys that I didn't even really recognize from Queen, and I'm thinking maybe they're old Bad Company guys. They were doing, like, they did, like, two Queen songs, two Paul Rogers songs, two Queen songs, two Bad Company songs. They ended it with All Right Now from Free. Remember that one? You know, it was a good show. I my 15-year-old, and he loved it. But,
how much did it cost? How much were the tickets to see this?
Oh, dude, it was like $60.
Jesus
and that
God.
that was in the 200 level.
Yeah, thank you. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll pass on that. So, well, what are you going to do? Paul Rogers.
Oh, I can't wait to see what's her name in leather tonight. Our rustic country girl.
Oh, the Kelly Pickler. I'm looking at the picture of her right now. Well, this is just sort of, anytime you say country now, you're going to have to put quotes around it. Because country doesn't really mean anything anymore. It's just one of those marketing terms that has no actual demonstrable value as applied to music. But you know, the thing about Paul Rogers is, Paul Rogers is sort of like the ultimate bar band singer. He's like if you genetically engineer a guy who was just going to sit in a roadhouse somewhere and just sing like Boston and David Allen Coe songs, it would be Paul Rogers. And you can't argue with the pedigree that he was in Free, he was in Bad Company, The Firm, you know, but I mean, there's no reason. I heard
and during the Queen songs, I mean, most of the time he's just walking around slapping hands on the runway and wasn't even really singing.
He's doing the Hagar. Hagar did that when I saw him. He was trying to sing Standing on Top of the World, but it was like his voice was just gone. You could tell that he couldn't hit the notes anymore. So it was a whole lot of hand slapping and then, of course, holding the mic out to the audience for them to take over, like anytime you would if they had a high C or something.
The whole show was like that for him.
Yeah. Well, and you got to kind of feel bad for Paul Rogers. Not only is he having to fill the figurative shoes of Freddie Mercury, but that they're actually playing Freddie Mercury on the screen singing at crucial points, which is sort of like an acknowledgement in front of 15,000 people of Paul can't sing this.
He can't do it.
All right, Chris, thank you so much.
Hey, you guys have a good one.
All right, there you go.
Bye.
Well, maybe there was a lot of convenient parking.
I hope so. Well, I'm glad I didn't. Because there was like about 10 seconds where I pondered doing that. And then I was just like, screw it.
You can't bring back old time.
No.
You can never go home again.
Thanks to TiVo, I was able to watch all of last night's American Idol in about 14 minutes.
Well, I'll watch it tonight.
I would strongly urge you to tape it on the DVR and then go back and just like kind of skip through. And I'm unclear about how the second night works because, again, I've never watched American Idol before. So I don't, which I know makes me out of touch with like the common clay of America and so forth, and what it makes me less related. I can't bring myself to watch it. So I don't know how this second night works. I don't know if they're going to sing again, or if they just recap it, or if it's just like all voting and like backstage, whatever. I don't know. The guy who sang We Will Rock You was pretty terrible. I know the whole show is sort of karaoke, but there were moments when it really just, you just got that vibe off of it. Like you expected to be at like, you know, it was like Friday nights at the Alibi or something. Sad as it is to say, Bucky Covington was actually not too bad. Bucky Covington, doing Fat Bottom Girls was not too horrible, actually. I expected it to be like the worst thing I'd ever heard, and it really wasn't. So you gotta give it up to that guy. But you can tell because, what was his name? Bo Bice?
Oh, yeah.
Again, I addressed the room realizing no one knows.
No, I know who he is. I saw a recent video. Did he recently do a song?
He's
got the scraggly hair, right?
But isn't he some kind of southern guy? Isn't that his thing? Is he's like,
he looks like, you know, somebody picked the trash at Pioneer Courthouse for you.
He's from the heartland, though. He's from the common stock of salt of the earth, something or other. But I think he got a lot of unexpected praise. People really latched onto him. And so now their whole thing is they're trying to clone him with other sort of southern, like kind of rugged, but, you know, looks like he's, you know, he's a hardworking guy with dirt under his fingernails.
He definitely is the great unwashed.
He doesn't have city hands from counting money. He's got the body of a man who works for a living. And it's just a whole lot, you know. And I think that's what this Bucky Covington guy is. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Yeah, I'm David from Portland.
David, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
What do you got, brother?
Well, I was going to suggest to Rick that the most interesting time to watch American Idol is in the beginning audition parts.
Uh-huh. We'll let him know.
We'll pass that along to Rick. Wait, hold on. Here he is. Hi, how are you?
Good.
Okay.
Rick?
Yes, it is.
Hi. Hey, listen, I got a suggestion for you on American Idol.
Okay. Here.
I think the most interesting...
Is this Rick?
Pardon me?
Nothing. Go ahead. The most interesting part is what?
Is to watch in the very beginning audition stages of
yes.
it. Because you get really strange people, some of whom have absolutely no talent, and are bizarre in various ways.
Well, that's like when they bring out the Kevin Gervaises and William Hungs of the world, right?
I don't know who they are.
But
each person only performs for about 30 seconds.
Right.
So
right.
if they're horrible, they're gone.
And this is like, in the first couple episodes of each season?
Yeah, like the first, they went to five cities this time, the first five shows.
All right.
Much more interesting than the later stuff.
All right, excellent. Thank you, sir. All right, there you go. Oh, you want to talk to Tom? It's so tempting to do that, but I don't. All right, I'll tell you what. So here's, have I got my bad metal lyrics?
Hold on, let me find them. All right, right here.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I hold in my hand. I hold in my hand right here the Unleash Your Inner Rock and Roll God contest. So here's what's coming up. Now, we've got Listener Party 9, which is coming up 8 days from now. 8 days from now, Listener Party 9, Kissing My Ass, which comes to you live at the Sabalas Mount Tabor, 7 p.m., 49th and Hawthorne. A whole bunch of stuff happening. The end of the night is going to climax with a performance by the artists formerly known as the Bigger Than Jesus House Band, who we will be renaming tomorrow on the show. Halfway through their set, give or take, we're going to have a special performance. Bring a special guest up to sing one of the all-time greatest duets ever. We're going to have a kind of a special introduction that's happening. The whole cast and crew is going to be there. We're all going to be there. We're going to be pressing the flesh, doing all that. There's going to be giveaways. Of course, we have a little something special for any female listener that comes dressed as a schoolgirl. As always, all of that stuff is happening. Now, about halfway through the listener party, about halfway through Listener Party 9, we are going to be doing this Unleash Your Inner Rock and Roll God contest, where we are going to bring up, I believe it's five. I think that's the number we've settled on. We are going to bring up one at a time, five listeners. You will have 60 seconds. See how I'm, even as I scorn American Idol, I am sort of almost subliminally, like I'm tying into it and relating
You're
to
channeling it.
Listen to that. Tell me I'm not relatable. So we will bring up five listeners. You'll have 60 seconds. You will have 60 seconds to sing a metal classic. And then he or she who unleashes the rock most effectively and convincingly will win a glorious prize and will go home with the mantle of metal on their shoulders. So we are going to start qualifying people for that today. So here's what we're going to do. We are going to take caller number five. Now, here's a couple prerequisites here. We are going to take caller number five at 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Now, here's the thing. When you call in, it is a two-tier contest. You must, so if you're calling right now, you might want to listen. A, you will have to identify whether a given metal lyric is real or fake. We will read you a heavy metal lyric. You must tell us whether it is real or fake. And then, you must sing live over the phone to us, uninterrupted, for 20 seconds. That's just to prove that you got the stones. The first is to prove that you are cut from the metal cloth. The second is to prove that you have the guts to do what, you know, to perform.
Yeah, don't puss out like that guy from the city.
Don't sissy out like the guy. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, I'd love to fight and sport fight. Don't. Yeah, don't be like that. So you were going to have to
prove it.
You were going to have to, you will have to correctly identify whether the metal lyric is real or fake, and then you will have to sing for 20 seconds.
That's not too much to ask.
No. And if you succeed at both of those things, you will be one of our pre-qualified contestants for Unleash Your Inner Rock and Roll God, which will happen live on stage at Listener Party 9. So we will take your call right now. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We will be back after this. It is the Rick Emerson Show. We are live from Portland. 503-733-2970. You stay there. We got more on the way coming up. 503-733-2970. Come on to poker. Great. Jack Elder will be joining us. We've also got more from Tim Riley at the City Desk, and we'll be talking about the widest phrase ever. You stay there. It is the Rick Emerson Show on Johnson 970, a proud part of the CBS radio family. Don't go anywhere.
Bunch. Hello, soldier. This is going to be one very sexy intergalactic war. Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming by. It's 1:30 in the p.m. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up, we got Tim Riley at the City Desk. Portland poker professional Jack Elder is going to join us later on. We're talking about Listener Party 9, Kissing My Ass, which is now just 8 days away, happening next Thursday. It's Ballers Mount Tabor on 49th and Hawthorne. And we actually were there the other day, and he's, I don't know if he's remodeled, but that place, he moved a wall or something? Did he take down something? It feels a lot bigger inside. He's moved a wall, or he's taken down that thing that was by the stage, I think.
Is it redecorated?
He's constantly changing things there.
I think his rationale actually was that he moved part of a wall that was by the stage so you could better check out hot girls while still being down at the bar. I think that was actually the explanation he gave me. He gave me. I think that was the explanation he done gave me. Rick, I'm a minor and still must attend the listener party. There's bound to be someone who can help me out. No. Frank Collin. I don't know anything about that. Rick, I was at Fred Meyer yesterday and saw what had to be one of your listeners. If he's not, he should be. He was in his late 20s buying a frozen Tony's pizza and a Milky Way bar. He paid in change. He looked clean but unshaven. I thought of asking him if he'd heard of you, but he looked a little scary. By the way, I spread the word every time I leave my garage. F. Steve with a spool of cash register tape dipped in monkey blood.
That could have been one of us, say, a few weeks back.
It is very true. Rick, check this out. Blah, blah, blah. Link. By the way, also, it was Kristen from accounting's birthday last night, and she said you were going to be there. Where is the love, my brother? Okay. Wait, before we get to the contest here, we should talk about this.
Now, I can say that Rick did try to go there.
Now, you went last night to Dante's. You went to Kristen's birthday.
Yeah, for like a half an hour and then went to bed.
I actually called Sarah in the car last night. I'm like, hey, I'm out doing some stuff, but I'm going to stop by Dante's. So here's the thing. I went to Dante's last night. Now, let me be clear about this. I am not demanding that I have to be on the list to go into someplace. That is not what this is about. But I go up to the door, and it's like the guy says, all right, $5. And I said, well, you know, it's not a big deal, but I think I'm on the list. And he said, what's your name? And I said, it's Rick. It's probably either under Cleveland or Kristen, da 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 da. I use her last name. And he looks and he goes, she's not here. I think her party left. And I'm like, well, all right. And so I just went home. So
I
stopped by. To be fair, it's not like I went inside and looked in every.
And to be fair, you didn't have $5, more likely.
Crevasse. No, I actually didn't.
Hey?
I went ahead to, like, walk to an ATM somewhere down there. Nobody wants to do that. So, anyway, so I did. I stopped by, and he claimed that her party had left. So I don't want her to be all crazy about everything. I did my very best. I really did.
I believe that.
All right. Thank you. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Do we have a contest? Do we have a contestant here? All right. I think we do. All right. Who is this?
No, the phones just went crappy.
Oh, have we lost? Okay. I'm sorry. No. Okay. Hold on.
What are you going to do?
All right. Well, okay. It's 503. The phones have just bitten the dust on us. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Because I saw them lit, and then I saw them all, like, they did that weird flashy thing, and then they all went away. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. You, Sarah, you do that. You, Sarah, big tree. We will go to the City Desk with Tim Riley while we wrangle the contestants here. Thank you.
From higher top to bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting. The military says synthetic athletic clothing containing polyester nylon is being prohibited for Marines conducting missions in Iraq. This under the direction of Marine commanders in Iraq. They're banning popular clothing from companies such as Nike. The military surgeon says this essentially creates a second skin that could lead to horrific disfiguring burns.
You know what else could lead to horrific disfiguring burns is being shot at or blown up or stepping on a mine or otherwise being attacked by somebody in Iraq for no reason.
Oh, yeah, that could happen, too.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, let's go to bank number B here as we talk about a T-Rex named Sue, who is basking in the limelight as the largest Tyrannosaurus Rex ever in Oklahoma. This exhibit is coming next month to the Sam Noble Oklahoma Museum of Natural History in the city of Norman. But As Sue is about to make her Oklahoma debut, her status of the biggest is being challenged.
Norman, Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Could you possibly create a more dull-sounding place? Mm-hmm. When I die, I'm going to end up in Norman, Oklahoma.
We have just learned that, and it's very exciting. They're making new paleontological finds all the time, and we understand that the Museum of the Rockies now has on display a skull that's a little bit larger than Sue's skull. This skull is 5 feet long, and I guess it's about 4 inches longer than Sue's, which is still an enormous skull.
Okay, all you kids on MySpace, spread the word. Sue is coming to Norman, Oklahoma.
T-Rex named Sue, the largest Tyrannosaurus Rex, we think, is going to be at the Sam Noble Oklahoma Museum of Natural History in Norman May 6th through July 30th.
Get the car. I can't wait.
Order that Oklahoma adventure guide now.
Jesus God. All right.
Any idea what the 10 best jobs are to have?
I have no... Wait, hold on. 10 best jobs.
Mm-hmm.
No, I have nothing. The only thing I know is that bad jobs list, and that's because it involves fishing, which in turn involves stories about losing a hand, which we love.
So at the top spot is the software engineer, followed by college professor, financial advisor, human resources manager, physician's assistant, market research analyst, computer IT person, a real estate appraiser, a pharmacist, and a psychologist.
Who wants to be an IT person or an HR person? The HR person is hated by everybody. The IT person hates everybody. I mean, the IT...
It never gets anything done.
No, but...
I'm not talking about here.
No,
we're talking
of course
about previous places we used to work at.
No, of course not. Well, that's... He doesn't...
Then they get temperamental and start throwing things.
Is it true that one of our previous IT people threw something at you?
No, it wasn't me.
Oh, he threw it at something else? Is that true? That one of our previous IT people threw something at someone?
Yeah, that was after we left, though.
Oh, really?
I don't know if he threw something at...
They were frustrated at our departure.
I don't know
if he threw something at someone or, like, against a wall.
Do you know what it was? Do you know what he threw?
No.
All right.
Yeah, it's supposed to make the story better.
Okay, I'm sorry. Are you supposed
to
say it's like
the ball today.
Like a lead paperweight or something? All right.
Okay.
Let's see. Rick, you just read an email from a guy under 21 that wants to go to the listener party. If you want, I can help him. No.
No, I'm not reading this.
No,
we
respect the law.
Uh-huh.
There's no children's play area there. It's not McDonald's.
All right. No. All right. Moving on. Are we done?
Actors Maggie Gyllenhaal and Peter Sarsgaard are engaged and expecting a baby. The couple's been together for 4 years. And co-starred in the 2003 never-released film, In God's Hands.
She still loves me, though.
The star of The Secretary and Mona Lisa's Smile, Gyllenhaal was in 2001's Donnie Darko with her brother Jake. Ugh. And features in Oliver Stone's summer film, World Trade Center.
I'm the biggest fan of hers. She's just... Maggie Gyllenhaal's one of those girls that...
She was in Kinsley, too.
Well, and it's like you...
Oh, no, he was in Kinsley.
Like, there's no real reason why she should be exceptionally beautiful to me. I mean, not that she's ugly, but I mean, you can't point to anything specific about her.
No.
But she's just, for some reason, I don't know, she's just off the charts hot to me. I don't know why. And she's one of those girls that a lot of people don't know. Like, you go up and go, hey, what about that Maggie Gyllenhaal? And people go, what? Hmm? And so they don't, everybody knows her brother now.
Yeah.
Because of Jarhead and Brokeback Mountain and whatever. But it's like, but she's a little bit in his shadow. She's sort of the Justine to his Jason Bateman. But it's okay. I can tell
she
by that.
She needs a sitcom.
Yes.
Peter Sarsgaard's really attractive, too.
Yeah, he's a weird-looking guy. Now, Peter Sarsgaard's strange-looking to me.
Oh, but in a handsome way.
Yeah, he's bizarre. Well, whatever. All right. So between the two of us, we've got all the Gyllenhaal family covered as far as desire goes. All right, should we do this?
Sure, why not?
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to the phones now. We are going to be pre-qualifying people for your spot on stage in the Rick Emerson Listener Party Number 9 Unleash Your Inner Rock and Roll God contest. Let's go to the phones, shall we? And that's another sound effect we didn't bring over from us, the Let's Go to the Phone sounder. Who's this?
This is Scott.
Hey, Scott, how are you today?
Doing great. Yourself?
I am, Scott, I'm rolling. So here's the thing. Are you going to be attending Listener Party 9? Because otherwise there's no point in you taking part in this contest.
Yes, I am.
You will be?
Yes.
All right, are you coming alone? Are you bringing people with you?
I was thinking about the wife. Just, make sure there was somebody kissable there.
Okay. All right, then. So here's the deal. We are going to give you a heavy metal lyric. You must correctly identify this lyric as either being real. Now, you're not required to identify the artist if it's real. But you must correctly spot whether this is a real metal lyric or whether this metal lyric is fake. Additionally, you must then sing over the phone to us without stopping for 20 seconds. Do you agree to these terms, Scott?
Yes.
All right. Okay. Here we go.
I'm going to read you a lyric, Scott. You must tell me whether this metal lyric is real or fake. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
The lyric is thus. We like it hard. We like it fast. We got the biggest amps. Man, they blast. The true metal people want to rock, not pose. Wearing jeans and leather, not Cracker Jack clothes. They want to keep us down, but they can't last. When we get up, we're gonna kick your ass. Gonna keep on burning, 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 gonna keep on burning. Scott, is this a real metal lyric, or have I written this?
Oh, I think that's a real metal lyric.
Ding, 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 ding.
Fantastic. That is from Manowar's hit single, Kings of Metal. All right. Did you actually know the song, or was that just a guess?
That was a 50-50.
All right. There you go. That is actually a real metal lyric. Now, you, Scott, must sing for us uninterrupted for 20 seconds. Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. Sarah, have you got the timer?
I've got it.
All right.
You got
to tell him when. Okay, Sarah, you tell Scott when to begin.
Okay, go.
I'm going to the Rick Emerson party. No, stop me, I'm going there. I'm gonna wear underwear, Rick Emerson party. Gonna be there, you're gonna stare. Why? Because the unpleasant's over, I'm in the Oregon. There's no place else to go, oh yeah! The weather in the air, oh yeah!
All right, thank you. Thank you, Scott. Excellent.
Awesome.
Well done, my friend. Excellent. All right, Scott.
I think you just hit the driver in front of you.
All right, Scott, you have been pre-qualified. You will take part in Unleash Your Inner Rock and Roll God live on stage, a listener party night next Thursday at Ballers Mount Tabor. So I'm going to put you on hold. We'll take your information. You give it to Sarah. And you are ready, my friend. And now it is your obligation, nay, your sacred oath and duty, to spread the word about this program and the party happening next Thursday. Are you up to the task, Scott?
Amen.
All right, okay.
Don't forget those dancing shoes.
Okay, there you go. Okay, Sarah will go ahead and get your information there. All right. It's 503-733-2970. There you go. We'll be qualifying someone else again tomorrow, so you just be
keep on your toes.
No, it's fantastic. Yep. Rick, this is from Chris. Oh, this is from the guy who created the sounder for us. Rick, I'm glad you like the wah-wah thing I made. I'm also the guy that sent you the Z sounder. Like I said before, let me know if there are other sound bits you want. I'll give a shot at the current affair sound for Tim's benefit. Blah, 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 blah. Chris, the sound guy. By the way, how does one acquire a title anyway? Do people just sign their names with whatever title they want to give to themselves? That is pretty much how it works.
That's how we do it.
There really are no hard and fast rules for anything like that. All right, though, should we break here? Okay, well, let's break, and then we'll actually be on time. That's fantastic.
Okay.
All right, we'll come back with more on the way. Coming up in the 2 o'clock hour, Jack Elder is going to be here, and more of your phone calls and so forth. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. We are live right here on Johnson 970, a proud part of the CBS Radio family. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Stay there back after this. Emerson Show, live from Portland. 503-733-2970. You hear that? That's the sound of caffeine replenishing my body. At this very moment, Engineer Sean is in the studio.
All right, I got it.
That's quite a mod shirt you're wearing there.
Now, Sean, can we talk to you for just a second about that? Do you mind? You'll probably have to, over here. Okay, so just because I am always fascinated by the internal politics and such things. All right, now Sean is the chief engineer here at Johnson 970, part of the CBS Radio family.
Yes, that's true.
All right, and by a fantastic engineer, by the way.
Thank you.
One of the best we've ever had. And we've run through a lot of them. We go through.
I believe that.
We go through them like tissue, my friend. And you're right up near the toppermost of the poppermost. So.
Well, thank you.
All right. So let me just give a little background here, because Sarah took a picture of you that we're going to put up on. Where are we going to post this here? Is it to your blog? Where are we going to post this?
You can put it on mine.
All right, so we'll put this at sarahxdillon.com. There was some memo that went out to the engineers here about the shirts that they were supposed to... Have you been issued a dress code?
We have been issued a dress code.
And by whom?
By my supervisor. Uh-huh. I'm just going to leave his name out of this.
Okay.
That we will wear button-up shirts with collars or polo shirts.
Was there a complaint about this? Did somebody...
Not that I'm aware of. Not that I'm aware of.
Because engineers, you follow your own law. It's you take the path less traveled in this world.
Well, as you put it in department head meetings, we build nuclear bombs in our basement.
That's what I'm saying. Well, if you, group of people you want to screw with, it's the engineers, because they'll kill you. They'll kill you, and nobody will ever find a trace or a residue, DNA, anything. If you ever find me dead, no one can find the cause. I'm cut up into a million pieces, and I'm scattered to the four corners of the earth. An engineer did it, and they'll never be caught.
Call in the cleaners.
Exactly, which is, that's exactly, it's like, you've seen Enemy of the State. That's what you guys are. You guys, you know, when the CIA comes and says, look, we need it to look like an accident, and no one can ever be found guilty. Like, you guys make that happen.
I don't think so. I don't know what you're talking about.
In comes the smoldering briefcase.
Let me ask you this. If I had to have a pipe bomb that worked correctly right now, would you know how to build one? I'm not saying you would, and of course I eschew all violence.
Well, you don't need it immediately.
No, I don't need it. If I gave
we have
you
another hour to go here.
If I gave you 2 or 3 days on it, would you know how to build a pipe bomb?
I plead the fifth, but I will say that my uncle from Montana was in town this weekend.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. If you could get a hold of some plutonium, would you be able to build a nuclear weapon, Sean Engineer?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm not saying
it doesn't
that you
take an iranium.
Would. All right. So, anyways, my point is that you don't want to alien engineers, but your boss sent out a memo about the dress code, and the dress code said that you are required to wear a button-up shirt or a polo shirt?
Or we would be sent home to change.
All right. And so your response to this, by the way, has been nothing short of inspiring and admirable, because you have worn now 3 days in a row really what must be called some of the worst shirts I've ever seen in my life. And I say that with love. I say it with respect. But, I mean, today's shirt is, I mean, you it's a new high in low. You really have either raised or lowered the bar on this. The shirt you're wearing today is, and again, you'll be able to see this in a moment at sarahxdillon.com. Where did this shirt come from?
Well, I have a collection of obnoxious shirts.
Yeah.
This is the worst of them.
All right.
Well,
it looks like something an extra would wear in the old Shaft movies in the 1970s.
Totally. It does sort of scream Ray-Bans and Fast Times at Ridgemont High, the series. You know what I mean? Like, you ought to have a bunch of checkered Vans with it or something, or be working at a TGI Fridays.
It is a button-down shirt.
Yeah. Blue and checkered Vans. My favorite description was a friend right after I got it who said 1983 called, they want their shirt back.
Now, and the great thing about this is, and this was spoken exactly like an engineer, because this morning I said, dude, that's one hell of a shirt. And you're like, hey, it does technically meet all the specifications and requirements. And then sort of walked away, which is exactly what an engineer would say to anything. It's the perfect engineer response. So has your boss bitched about it? Has he complained about it?
I just got a compliment on how nice my shirt is tomorrow.
It's fantastic.
However, tomorrow my intention is to wear a referee jersey and a beanie cap with a whirly bird on the top of
it. Excellent. You are our favorite person, Sean. All right, thank you.
I'm not sure what the beanie policy is here.
Engineer Sean, ladies and gentlemen. All right, you can see that picture at sarahxdillon.com. That's Engineer Sean in all of his pink shirt glory. It's fantastic. I don't even really know how to describe it. You know what it is?
He's awesome.
You know what his shirt looks like? It looks like a Nagel painting exploded onto him. You know what I mean? Like, if it just sort of splattered all over him. That's fantastic. All right, coming up in the next hour, Portland poker expert Jack Elder is going to be here. We'll talk more about Listener Party 9. We'll talk about the widest phrase ever. We will actually get to that. But now, speaking of things we will actually get to, let's roll it. It's your top five for 3 weeks ago.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
Counting is wonderful, counting is marvelous, counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy.
I love to
count, don't you?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here with today's top five, which is actually top five. When is this from?
1955.
No,
it's been a while since we did this.
I think we were supposed to have done this on March 31st. It's now April 12th. So
So this is only 13 days late or so.
That's all right.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley with today's top five.
Well, according to the script, it was on this day in 1955 that a musical dynamo was unleashed upon planet Earth. And though 51 years have passed, Angus Young and his band remain the standard by which, well, stripped-down rock and roll is judged. The Rick Emerson Show is proud to pay tribute to this towering six-string icon with these, the top five AC/DC songs. You might not know because the music radio stations are terrible dung heaps of mediocrity.
These are the top five AC/DC songs that you probably don't hear played on the radio.
Is this honorable mention?
Yes, it is.
With Ride On.
From Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap. Really an anomaly in the AC/DC catalog. And I gotta say that it is...
It's another lonely...
That's a great song. It really is honorable mention because it does get played every now and again. But not very often. You really gotta have to catch the radio stations on a good night.
But I ain't too young to worry.
Those are few and far between. This really is the last new blues song that ever needed to be written. I mean, like all suburban white men, I consider myself knowledgeable about blues music. Because it's a way to sort of to pass myself off as having soul.
Who's the lady singing?
This is the late Bon Scott.
Oh.
Ain't too young
but
to admit it.
The thing about blues songs is that after about 1965, we never needed to have any more. There don't need to be any more blues songs written. It's like reggae songs. They've all been written. You can just stop it now. This is the exception to that. This came out in 1979, I think. I think it's when Dirty Deeds came out. And this is just, it's a fantastic song. And it really is the only really passable new blues recorded in the last, like, 40 years, especially by a white person. I mean, the guy in the white stripes can eat it. This is kind of the benchmark for them. All right.
At number five, A Whole Lot of Rosie going on.
By the way, this is my favorite AC/DC song. This is of all time.
Won't tell you a story about a woman I know. I come loving. Steal the show. She ain't exactly pretty. Ain't exactly small.
Sounds like an evil dwarf.
23956. You can say she got it.
Now, sadly, I've never seen them perform this song live. I've seen them in concert twice, I think. And they always kind of, you know, they go through the Bon Scott era and then they do all the post Back in Black stuff. But I've never seen them perform this song, which is to my undying sorrow, because it's hands down, I'm saying for me, hands down, it's my favorite AC/DC song of all time. I mean, it doesn't get any better than this. And a seemingly inexhaustible supply of riffs. I mean, for a guy that doesn't really know how to play guitar all that well, they sort of are a cousin band to the Ramones in this way, and that they're able to crank out just an unending series of songs that are distinct and that you can tell apart. I mean, it's just like the most moderate of tools. It's the tiniest amount of skill from a technical point of view. And able to create just one album after another, after another, after another, and they all have a very distinct sound to them. All right.
Number four, Shake a Leg.
This is from Back in Black. I don't think I've ever heard this played on the radio. This is probably it. Right here. This represents the sum total of all of the radio play this song will ever get.
On the street.
And, of course, everybody's talked ad infinitum about Back in Black and how it's probably the greatest comeback album of all time. Everybody had written these guys off. Your singer chokes on vomit, you're pretty much done most of the time. But they were able to come back with an album that was not only good, not only strong, but a classic. It's a crime that there isn't an all AC/DC radio station somewhere. You know, they do those stupid oldie stunts where they'll play like all Elvis or something for a week and a half.
all Beatles stations. I worked at a station that was all Louie Louie all the time for like a month. There really should be an all AC/DC station somewhere.
Number three, That's the Way I Want Rock and Roll.
It's from the Blow Up Your Video album. See, then again, what I mean, it's like the whole lot of Rosie thing. It's just a variation on the same sort of guitar riff. But, man, you know, a second and a half into this, I can tell the songs apart just like everybody else can. And the fact that this guy can still sing, I mean, he must have lungs of leather. Counting down the top five AC/DC songs you never hear played on the radio.
Number two, Problem Child.
I'm pretty sure this is from, what is it? This is from, TNT? Is that where this is from? It's from TNT or a high voltage or something? Anybody who kind of doubts the AC/DC punk connection should listen to this because they those moments where they verge on being a punk band. I think they're a little too ballroom for that. And a guy who, and really by all rights, shouldn't have been a lead singer of anything. Because he's got such a strange Keebler Elf kind of a voice going on. Counting down the top five AC/DC songs you never hear played anywhere.
Number one, Kick in the Teeth.
Two-faced woman with your two-faced lies. I hope that the two-faced lizard made you satisfied. Why you been running around town with every mother's son?
From Powerage, which may be the most overlooked of all AC/DC albums. It's a fantastic song. Listen to the scream on that guy. Probably the greatest rock and roll screamer of all time, period. End of story. Back after this, we got more on the way, including the whitest phrase ever and Jack Elder. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Johnson 975, part of the CBS Radio family.
I used to think that you were sugar and spice.
Listen to that.
You're just showing off
I'm
now.
I'm delivering the post, baby.
I should have listened to my mom's advice.
Back after this, don't go anywhere.
Kick